And the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up upon the breadth of the camp of the saints about, breadth of the earth, and compassed the camp of the saints about, and the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven, and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night, forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat upon it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Listening to Let the Bible Speak, and I want to welcome you to the program today, and I trust that you will be encouraged as we stay with this book of Revelation. This is the book that is so encouraging because the Lord never loses a battle, no matter what the devil tries to do, he feels, and the church, in spite of harassment and even martyrdom, only grows and abounds. And we see the picture of the church brought in, worshipping the Lamb day and night. Now, of course, we desire that we might have the Lord with us, and that we might have his strength and power in our souls, that we will see the devil defeated in every way. And no doubt behind this coronavirus is the plot and scheme of the wicked one. He is a murderer from the beginning, and this is his evil work. But of course, the Lord Jesus came into the world to bring life and peace. He is the life giver, and he gives to every one of us people new life, and he gives us, praise God, eternal life. So stay tuned with us as we turn to our pulpit ministry today as we preach on Revelation chapter 20, the defeat of the devil. And so even in the days of Israel, God restrained the devil in those days. And Satan could never do all the evil that he wished to do. Then at the birth of the Lord Jesus, of course, Satan wanted to destroy Christ. And when Herod got wind of a king being born, he destroyed all the children under 2 years, but he did not destroy the Christ child. Joseph and Mary were warned, take him down to Egypt, and he was spared. So the devil didn't get all of his way in that one. And then if you turn with me, this is a very good account in Matthew 8:29, Matthew's Gospel and chapter 8, verse 29. We read here that we have devils cast out. Now, let's go to verse 28 just to get the context of this. When he was come to the other side of the country of the Gergesenes, there met him two possessed with devils coming out of the tombs, exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass by that way. And behold, they cried out, saying, what have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Now, here are devils that are very intelligent. They know Jesus. They know who he is. And they asked the question, art thou come hither to torment us before the time? They are smart. They know what God's plan is for the devil and demons. They will one day be cast out and cast into the lake of fire. But right now, they don't get to do all they wish to do. And when our Lord Jesus comes on the scene, he has the power to cast them out. And they make a request of the Lord that they be permitted to go into the herd of the swine. And the Lord down there in verse 32, he said unto them, go! And they were come out. They went into the herd of swine, and behold, the herd of swine ran violently down a steep place into the sea and perished in the waters. Not a very good end for these upstart demons. When they met the Lord Jesus, they were restrained. And the more you have Christ on the scene, the more active the ministry of the Lord Jesus, the more problem it creates for these demons and the powers of hell. Because Christ always wins. He has supreme power. They have some power, but not to the extent of the Son of God. We've also seen in this book of Revelation, time and time again, that Satan goes forth to war with Christ. And who wins? It's always Christ wins. And we've been saying through this book, we're on the winning side. This is a book of consolation and comfort. Whatever the church may be going through today, whatever trials we're facing, Christ will win, and he shall conquer Satan. Now, another thing that you will find in the book of Revelation, if you turn to chapter 13, verse 7, Revelation chapter 13 and verse 7, that even though it's declared that Satan is making war with the Lord, that everything the devil does is by the Lord's permission. Look at chapter 13, verse 7. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints. Now, that seems a very strange thing that God would allow his own children to suffer under the hand of the devil, that he would allow people to become martyrs under the hand of the devil. But you will notice that it was given. That permission had to be given to the devil before he could touch a saint, before he could touch a child of God. And it's a wonderful thing that Satan can only do what he's allowed to do. And so it's right for you and me to pray, Lord, rein up the devil. Tighten up his chain. Don't allow him to attack. We know his vicious nature. We know he's not dead. We know that he's real. Oh, Lord, deliver us from the jaws of the wicked one, from that old lion that goes about. And in the Lord's Prayer, we are taught to pray that we be delivered from the devil. We're to pray that prayer constantly, that we be delivered from the evil. And the word evil, there's the evil one, Satan himself. When I was typing that up here in my notes, I typed, devil us, that he might not devil us. But I was trying to type, deliver us. And I got the word devil come out. So much for my typing. But it was the truth that I typed, that he will not devil us, but rather that we will be delivered from his evil way. And so we're asking the Lord all the time, bind Satan, bind him. Don't allow him to get any a longer chain. Don't allow him to get into our area of life. Deliver us from that wicked devil. And so tonight, in the plainest sense, we can say that the devil is bound, or we wouldn't even be here. The devil is not dead. He is not powerless. He is still vicious, vile. He's still a slanderer of the saints who hates Christ and his people. He works his evil, but he's restrained. The old vicious dog is tied up. And that's the comfort of the saints. He is bound. So that's the meaning. That's the sense of it. Now we want to look at, when is he bound? When is he bound? Now, the revelation given to John in this book is, as we said, cyclical. At the end of 19, we came to the end of world history. The Battle of Armageddon, all over. It's the end of world history. Chapter 20 is like covering things again into a new cycle of new information, new detail over the same period. And so it is the same age that we're covering. Chapter 20 is then covering the same ground, and it goes back over the same history. And chapter 20 reveals further details on the defeat of Satan, the timing, the binding of Satan. Well, let's look at the order of it here. A, there's four parts to it. Maybe we'll just use numbers. It might be easier to count them. Number one, you have in verse 2 the binding of Satan for 1,000 years. Then, 2, Satan's little season. That's the end of verse 3. And you'll also see that down in verse 7 and verse 8 as well. You have Satan's little season. This is the order of events. Then in verse 20, you have the final judgment. The white throne, verse 12. You have the final judgment. And then Satan is cast out into the lake of fire. So when is Satan bound? Satan is bound during the whole church age. Satan is bound for that 1,000 years, and that 1,000 years is symbolic of the whole church age. In one sense, the devil was always bound. Right from the Garden of Eden, Satan was restrained by God. Even in the days of Noah, God preserved a people. Right through the history of the world, God preserved his people. But in Christ's time, all the more Christ is present, the more active his ministry in the world, the tighter, the shorter the chain that the devil is able to use. Now, we've talked about Satan attacking the Lord in the wilderness after our Lord's baptism. That was a daring, bold move. And we know that the devil lost. We're told in Matthew 4:11 that the devil leaveth him. Christ never succumbed to any one of his propositions. Any one of his wick, fall down and worship me, and I'll give you the kingdom. Christ didn't even go there. And the devil could not overcome the Lord Jesus. We have looked at that passage of sending the demons into the swine and how they were told to go. Here now is Satan restrained as Christ ministers on earth. In Matthew 12, verse 22, there's another marvelous account referring to the Lord Jesus dealing with demonology, dealing with demons. Matthew 12, verse 22. I'm just going to read this. I'm not going to say a lot about it, but just to point out that the more active the ministry of Christ on earth, the less rope the devil has. Then was brought unto him one possessed with a devil, blind and dumb. And he healed him, insomuch that the blind and dumb both spake and saw. And all the people were amazed, and said, Is not this the son of David? But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, This fellow doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of devils. And Jesus knew their thoughts, and said unto them, Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. And if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then shall his kingdom stand? And he goes on to defend that he did not cast out demons by the power of the devil. But you look down in verse 29. Or else, how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he first bind the strong man? Now, in Revelation, we're talking about the devil being bound, the binding of Satan. And here the Lord is pointing out that except the strong man binds, except that strong man in the house is bound, there's going to be no spoiling of the house. And that's what the Lord Jesus was doing in his ministry while he was on earth. And then over to John 12 and verse 31. John 12, verse 31. We're getting close to the days of Christ's arrest, to the days of the Lord's crucifixion. And in verse 31 in John chapter 12, Jesus said, Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And if you go on down to verse 33, If I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. This he said, signifying what death he should die. And so this casting out of the devil, casting out this prince of this world, as he is referred to, is related to the cross work of the Lord Jesus. So the timing of Satan's binding is now definitely attached to the death, the cross work, and the victory of Christ at the cross to overcome the powers of the devil. And in the epistles, don't have time tonight to preach on them, but in the epistles you have great statements about that Christ at the cross. He spoiled principalities and powers. That means he took souls out of the kingdom of the devil, and he restrained the devil's powers and gave the victory to the saints. And that's the picture we have in binding Satan. And there at the cross, Satan was defeated and Satan was bound in that sense. Now, Revelation 12, one more passage to read before we go back to chapter 20, and that is chapter 12, verse 7. There was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought with his angels and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth. Now I want you to notice that his activity is in the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Not now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. While the devil was on earth, that is, while he was still active in this world. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. And so you can see this war between Christ and Satan, and the devil is here defeated, marvelously, wonderfully defeated. Now that's the period, that's the time in which Satan is bound. It's referred to in chapter 20 as a millennium or 1,000 years, but that is the whole stretch of the ministry of Christ on earth as he defeated the devil and robbed him of souls, bringing them into his kingdom, translating them out of the kingdom of darkness. Now you think of the great missionary movement of the church that is ascribed to Christ. Yesterday morning in our men's prayer breakfast, we read a chunk of Psalm 72. And it talks in verse 8 that Christ shall have dominion from sea to sea, and all the earth shall worship him and praise his name and give glory to him. That's Psalm 72. That was a messianic prophecy referring to when Christ would come and the Pentecost would come and the world would be evangelized, and in every nation of the world, this gospel will go forth. Christ is going forth conquering and to conquer, and Satan is being bound. Now you might say, I wouldn't like to meet the devil in his full liberty if he's bound today. Look at the evil that's all around us. Look at what the devil is doing today. Yes, but look at the Lord building his church. Look at the Lord saving his people. Look at the liberty that we have here to preach the gospel. These are the times in which the devil is bound, and we are given the victory through our Lord Jesus. That does not mean the devil is dead. Doesn't mean that he is yet totally cast out, but the dog is tied up and he is restrained from doing his very worst. Now, in closing, I want to look at a number of things that the devil therefore cannot do. If he is bound, if he is limited, what he cannot do. Well, number one, he cannot overcome Christ. He will never conquer the Lord. Greater is he that is in us than is in the world. For this purpose was the Son of God manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. And we have the great wonder and hope for the church that Christ is greater and stronger. Number two, Satan cannot destroy the church. However much he hates the image of Christ in the church, however much he attacks the church, he will never destroy the witness of the church, because even martyrs will overcome by the blood of the Lamb. And they will stand on that great day singing the praises of the Lamb, even those that were killed, put to death for Christ's sake. Now, we have all been saddened by the vicious murders of Muslim people in New Zealand. And that's a despicable act and a terrible thing to do. What is it now? 50 people dead. And of course, it gets endless news coverage. Did you know that in the last weeks and months in Nigeria, that there has been at least 120 Christians murdered by nomadic Fulani Muslim people? These are people who have laid down their lives. Now, I have always difficulty knowing exactly what, you know, form of Christianity they represent. But nevertheless, they have the name of Christ to them, and the devil hates it. The devil hates it. And those who lay down their lives for Jesus still win, no matter what they suffer. Now, what else can the devil not do? Well, what we ought to fear is Satan's little season, when he finally is loosed for a little time, and then he will rage against the church. And you may ask, are we in that period now? Is this the little season when Satan is going forth? Well, I think if you and I had been living during World War I or World War II, we might have drawn the conclusion that that was the time of Satan's ravaging and final time of let loose to destroy the righteousness and the righteous things of the world. And no doubt those were horrible, terrible times. But when you think about it, the state of the nations morally was much better in 1919, 100 years ago, than it is today. The nations of Europe, Canada, USA, morally was much higher. Even in World War II, World War II seems to be a moral trend downward. There are things today that are legalized, that are accepted in society, for which you'd have been put in prison in the mid-1900s. The devil seems to be winning the war on immorality. As the devil promotes confusion, sin, it's easier to sin in 2019 than it was in 1919. You'd have been put in jail for doing the things that people do today and boasting about it. The devil seems to be winning the agenda. And so we might ask, is this the little season? Well, it certainly seems to be the hour that the devil wants to make his advances. But this will not continue. This will not continue. You look at verse 9, and you will see that fire comes down out of heaven, destroys Satan and all his followers, and they are cast out. The fire will come down. This world is headed for judgment. We can say that. And the more sinful and the more immoral it becomes, the nearer to judgment it is. And so it's the hour for God's people to close ranks and serve Christ, that we may be watching, waiting for that great day when Christ shall appear. And praise God, Satan, that old slanderer, that vicious dog, he will be cast out, finally. And then will go up the hallelujahs. Then will be the hallelujahs of the Thank you for listening to our Let the Bible Speak broadcast. This is Ian Gallagher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca. You'll also find our podcast button on the top of the homepage of our website. We are on the air Sundays 9:30 a.m., for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m., on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services, Sundays 10:30 and 6 p.m. Yes, we have an evening preaching service in our church at 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view our church services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-576-1091. The mailing address is 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We are located two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. We also have a church in Victoria, 733 Van Alman Avenue, Sundays 10:30 and 6. Our website again is www.ltbs.ca. Remember to join us here again on this station, Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. as we let the Bible speak.